We knew for a really long time that women's health in traditional medicine wasn't prioritized as much as it should have been. We see inefficiencies when it comes to fertility treatments, when it comes to pregnancy, when it comes to contraception. So we knew that there's problems. I think the question really was, can data really help?
Today, the five data points that help us to predict women's fertility.
And I think now we're seeing more and more of healthcare moving towards data. The future of healthcare will in many ways be data and data analytics.
Lea von Bieder is the CEO of AVA.
And so what we're trying to do is, with that data, we're trying to solve those pre-existing gaps that I think were quite obvious, but just couldn't be addressed with what was out there.
This is Beyond Tech, a short-form podcast where you learn something new every episode in around 10 minutes. Back in the day, lots of these data pools on women or a lot of these medicaments on women were always tested on men.
Yeah.
Can you tell me that example?
Yeah,
quickly?
No. I mean, that's a kind of it's a problem that has happened and is continuously happening. Women are often excluded out of clinical trials because they're considered more, let's call it more difficult than men in clinical trials because of the hormonal changes. They then say, oh, maybe this participant might get pregnant or this participant might be somewhat influenced by the hormonal changes. And that's why we'd rather just take men and then we just lower the dose for women and then we'll be fine with that. And there were a couple of instances where that really didn't work out in the past. And I think so now they have changed a couple of laws around it, but that has been common practice for years. We know that there's multiple, in the startup lingo, let's call it white space, areas within women's health that are just not addressed or not addressed appropriately.
So given this context, what's the idea behind AVA? What space are you trying to address with your product?
What we wanted to build is a product that, based on the data that we're gathering from women overnight, we could detect their fertile window better than anything that has been out there for decades, and that's mostly temperature. And I think what we realized then after the first kind of clinical and non-clinical trials is that we actually found data points that we can measure that help us understand hormonal changes outside of temperature.
Could you take me through how it actually works concretely?
So what's happening is you wear this medical device, looks like a bracelet. You wear it during the night on your wrist. During the night, we collect data, physiological data that we get through that device. Heart rate variability, perfusion, temperature, and breathing rate. It's around 3 million data points a night that we're collecting because we're collecting that data every couple of seconds or even multiple times a second. So that entire data set is then sent to our backend and we make sense of that data. So we filter all the things out, we see what data makes sense and what doesn't. And based on those changes that we're seeing compared to the nights that we had before and compared really to everything that we know about you, we give you the feedback back and say, okay, looks like you're in your fertile window, looks like you're at the end of your fertile window, looks like you're not fertile today. And we do that within around 30 seconds. So you sync your bracelet in the morning with your phone will take around 30 seconds to send the data back. And what you see then as a woman using the product, a very, very limited amount of that data set. So we show you maybe around 5 or 6 data points, not 3 million. And we give you the feedback of, are you fertile or are you not fertile on your phone? And that's the app that you would see.
Very cool. So 3 million data points in under 30 seconds. How did you make this magic happen?
Well, technology makes that magic happen, but we're constantly trying to make the 30 seconds shorter. But that's how the system in the end works. So we're making sense of enormous data sets in a very short time.
So you help people to fulfill their dream and become a baby.
Not become a baby, have one.
I have one, yeah.
I hope that's not what we're doing.
I don't know if that's true, but I hear you have like a clock that counts how many happy customers you had or how successful customers.
Yeah, we actually do in fact have a tracker in all of our offices. We do have that and it updates every 15 minutes. And then so you're sitting there and you're working and then suddenly it was like, and everyone turns around and looks at the tracker.
What was the most in a day?
Oh, I don't even know. I mean, we're still at around 50 pregnancies a day at the moment or 60 or so. So I guess we definitely had days over 100.
I want to zoom out a little bit for a moment. Looking at digital health in general, how would you say the sector has evolved?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, where we came from originally is that you did healthcare with very little data, right? You might have had one data point or two data points when you're a doctor having to diagnose something, right? So we came from a situation of very little data, and now suddenly we're collecting data left and right. So what has led to that? Well, computers have led to that, availability of data, but also availability of tracking, such as wearables, but also many other things. So I think now healthcare sits there and has, in many ways, a ton of data that they don't fully know yet what to do with. And I think now we're going to start seeing the first applications out of that data sets. And we're going to see also a huge increase in data sets.
So the beginning was just we gather a lot of data. So we have all these Fitbits and trackers and so on the market. And now I guess the biggest challenge is what do we make out of it?
Absolutely. And how do we make it actionable? I think a lot of the companies that you've mentioned are trying really hard to use their data for something actionable and have so far not fully succeeded in doing so. But that will come. I'm sure we will see those applications. But right now we're not fully there yet. We're much further in other places in medicine, right? Radiology, we're much further. Like there's certain areas of healthcare where we're already using data and data analytics, but there's some others that we're a bit further behind.
A clear trend is that more and more money is definitely flowing into tech companies trying to address digital health. What's your take on commercialization of digital health?
Well, I mean, I think what's happening right now is I think a lot of the innovation is still happening outside of the traditional system. So people are trying, still a lot of startups are kind of trying to bypass the existing system to be faster, just because we know that partnerships with existing companies, with providers, with payers, they just take a really long time. But I mean, we're seeing that changing now as well. We've seen now Germany as one of the first countries that has said that they're going to start reimbursing digital health tools that fall into a certain risk class. We're seeing a lot of efforts in other countries as well. So I think the biggest hurdle now will be what's happening with the payers and the reimbursement, because that's where the real money is. I mean, you can bypass and go direct to consumer for a really long time, which we have done too. But in the end, where you're going to really see the impact and the impact of those companies is if you go to the payer. And I think that's what we've seen with a couple of the digital health companies that are out there that are probably a bit more well-known. So I think we're looking at the US companies. If you look at Livongo or Omada or any of the other digital health providers, the larger ones, they went to the payers directly, and they're not doing direct consumer at all anymore, which is probably the future of the space.
What do you see on the horizon? What's your prediction for the future of digital health?
It's still unsure who's going to claim digital health. Is it going to be the tech companies, or is it going to be pharma, or is it going to be medtech? You have a couple of candidates there, and now we know that the tech companies are pushing into it, but we also haven't seen a lot of results there, to be fair, right? So really the question is going to be who's going to claim digital health. If pharma medtech wants it to be them, then they probably have to very strongly step up their game, just because we're seeing tech really pushing hard in the digital health space. So I think it's not a prediction, but it's an open question that we will have answered, hopefully, in the next 10 years.
Who's going to win the race?
Well, if you think about digital health, are you going to think about, how much are you going to think about tech, and how much are you going to think about healthcare? And I think that's just right now not entirely clear. And both of those parties sit on really, really valuable things. So we might also see just much more cooperations between the tech and the pharma world moving forward. That's probably the most likely outcome. And then the second thing is, I hope that we're going to see more and more useful data and actionable data analytic outcomes in medicine. I mean, we already are, and there's going to be much more that's going to come out of it, where we see governments and we see big organizations really caring about that. So I think what we are hopefully going to see is that every single person that interacts with the healthcare system will really find that his or her data is used appropriately and gives them actionable insights.
Do you think technology can help to make it more affordable for everyone? Or
healthcare has gotten better, but with that also the price of healthcare has just increased. So technology hasn't really been used so far to bring down costs. It has increased and bettered the outcomes, and with that also increased the costs. The question is, will technology really make a huge difference there, or continue to just increase prices? I'm not sure. I honestly think in many ways technology is probably going to keep on increasing the prices, but also increasing and improving the outcomes.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Tech, a podcast from Digital Switzerland. My name is Matthias, And if you find these episodes interesting, if you learned something new today, let us know. We'd also like to hear what topics you're curious about and what episodes we should cover in the future. This podcast was produced by Tinka Media. Music came from Blue Dot Session. If you like this podcast, please rate it and share it with your friends. Looking forward to catching up with you in a week.